Welcome to season one, episode two of Under All is the Land. I'm your host, Courtney Polis, here with my rock star co-stars, Silke Fernald.
Hello.
And Dominique Madden.
Hi.
And today we're going to be talking about making the shift from another career into real estate. I get this question a lot from people who are like, maybe I should get my real estate license. No, it's not always as easy as you think, but we have a few tales to tell, some special guest stars, and some secret finds on Instagram before we wrap it all up with a few thoughts on barriers to entry in our industry.
Yay! Courtney, your friends about to show you how to generate wealth. Get educated, do for yourself. Add a couple notches to your belt. Under all is the land. Under all is the land. The real, real. Under all is the land. Under all is the land. The real, real real estate. Coming to you live from Acme Real Estate in Los Angeles, California.
So let's get this party started. Hi.
Hi.
So I have a question for you, Silke. What did you do before you became a real estate agent?
Okay, so I had many different hats on. I used to be a fashion model, a flight attendant, a location photographer. I studied finance in Germany. I used to manage a bar. I was a bartender and also worked in the service industry in all kinds of restaurants. So many things. Yeah.
What about you, Nick? What did you do?
I was a student. I was in restaurants and retail, but I actually got into real estate relatively young. So I feel like this was the first thing that I really dove into.
Mm-hmm. That's smart.
Thanks
that you did
sister.
That.
Thanks, <my
wife. laughs> Thanks to the sister.
Because I got her into it. Okay.
But you know what? It's so smart because you are 10 or 15 years ahead of where I am. In terms of that, right? You've already have this career. When I was your age, I had not had my license yet. And
yeah,
I was a very
home.
Different.
You
I got, know, I got
you
to travel
fly
the
all
world.
Over the world.
I
you
get to
be a jet
travel
setter.
The world, yes.
That's pretty
tea
amazing.
Tea or coffee? So how has being a real estate agent affected you? Like, are you a better client? Are you a better tipper? What has it done for you since you worked in the service industry before?
I definitely am a better tipper. I appreciate the service industry, but that's mainly because I was in that same spot as well. So I feel like that's less the real estate thing to contribute to. To me personally, it's more like because I know how it is to bartend. I know how it is to work in restaurants and all that. So I always was one of the better tippers, I think.
So if it's not that, then what has real estate, like being a real estate agent, what has it changed in you?
Do you want me to answer this?
Go ahead. Whoever. I wasn't expecting stereo silence. We just did this fucking punch list like 10 minutes ago.
Yeah. I mean, I can say that, you know, since I've gotten into real estate, I feel like I have a better read on people overall. You know, you get to see them at so many emotional points in the process that, you know, unlike most jobs, I think you actually get to see people at their rawest. And so now, I feel like I can, you know, just like understand perspectives better because like working all sides of it, you see so many different sides of people's realities and thoughts, you know, like when you, especially when you work with both buyers and sellers because they're coming from two different perspectives, but all with, you know, fears pertaining to the same thing. And so I feel like, you know, one just reading bullshit has definitely... My bullshit meter is like, you know, it's fucking good.
But, it is good, actually. I have to agree with you. You're good at that.
It's very good.
You know, good bullshit. I know, good. Bullshit detector.
Yeah, you know, but that, you know, along with, you know, understanding, you know, where, like, when certain things are coming out of emotion versus out of, like, true
logic.
Yeah, true logic. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, I think that's a really great point. For me, real estate has made me far more accountable. The words that come out of my mouth, I know I'm legally accountable for. So when I make promises, I keep them. When I say I'm going to show up, I be there. If I'm going to be late, I say I'm going to be late. Like, I am highly accountable in a way that I think being like, you know, an actor, and you still had to show up on time to auditions and stuff like that. But like in life, like there's no excuses for a lack of courtesy when it comes to like arriving on time for things and showing up, really showing up for the job.
There's no other way, right? In a way. So
there's no other way.
You wouldn't last a minute.
It's true. And you get sued, which I have seen happen.
Yeah. Accountability is definitely one of the bigger things that are takeaways for realtors, because you really are held to every word you say. So before you commit to something, whereas I think most people want to just say the thing that sounds good, mm-hmm. in real estate, you know, I think you made this point before too. It's like, you know, it's kind of the opposite. Like, you know, you're really about telling the truth, because, you know, your words have impact on whether or not someone moves forward with this big purchase, right?
Totally.
And so, you know, if you are misrepresenting something, or if you're committing something that you don't actually know to be true, it could mean, you know, it could be so detrimental.
It's coming out of your commission. True. I know. I was just, I had the very first multifamily transaction of my life. I didn't realize there were check boxes for the appliances, and I didn't check them. So we were doing our walkthrough, and all the appliances were gone. It's a multifamily. It was like a duplex. So now I had two dishwashers, two ranges, two refrigerators, two washer dryer sets. I mean, it ate about half my commission for sure to refurnish it with brand new appliances. That's a lesson I will never make again. But, you know, it's kind of like you pay more attention to detail, both in what you're doing, what you're advancing on your client's behalf, but also, you know, with your words and what promises you're making. And to what you were saying before, real estate does make you put your big girl pants on. It does make you have difficult conversations in a way that is non-emotional. And you have, you know, I think real estate agents learn how to deal with or put into a canon, or, you know, kind of like understand, okay, here's how I'm going to approach this. But at the end of the day, people need to know I'm honest. I'm going to tell it like it is.
Yep.
And that's hard. In every other career, you don't want to do that. You don't want to come out and be like, sorry, guys, somebody just pooped in your soup or something. You know, not that you would say that. I'm just saying. You don't want
that to. That giant turd in your soup didn't give it away.
I've been influenced by the Johnny Depp Amber Heard. You watched Trial, where she pooped in his bed or something.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, but what I'm saying is, so like, you don't want to be the person who delivers mm-hmm. bad news in yeah. most jobs, right?
Yes.
But in real estate, it is our job. And it's a job we do really well, but you learn how to deal with conflict in a mm-hmm. different way.
Yeah, and because we tend to be, as humans, more on the accommodating side, right? We want to accommodate people and tell them what they want to hear. And real estate is sort of the job where you don't do that.
Yeah, you're not always telling people what they nope. want to hear. No. And in fact, if you do and you're wrong, then everybody's going to be upset, including your very own self.
Yes.
That's true. Here's another thing I love about real estate. In a lot of other industries, I think, you know, youth and lack of experience are sometimes kind of like seen as advantageous. I know that sounds weird, but I remember in PR, there's a lot of energy that comes from people just graduating from college. Like, they're ready. They'll work 60 hours. They're hitting the demographic that you want. Now we have social media and, you know, younger people are sort of better at it. And like, you know, you can easily be displaced in like marketing. Like, yeah. But with real estate, I think the emotional intelligence that women bring to the table and experience that age gives you, and experience gives you wisdom and you can advise better. I mean, I really think that this is one of those few professions where we can actually call it an advantage to be a woman.
I agree with you. And a woman who's already lived a little bit of life and done a few things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we see it on new people all the time. They come fresh out of college and say all the right things when it comes to interviews. Yes. And then you get started and you're like, oh, okay, this is a very different sort of generation and vibe. And
that's
it
true.
Just runs different.
That is yeah. true.
Emotional intelligence is definitely something that helps you be a better realtor. Because, you know, I mean, what I see is that you get a lot of people who have that, like, they're logical or they're good at numbers, but they don't understand that residential real estate is more than just numbers.
Yeah.
You know, it's about connections. It's about ties to properties and, you know, on both sides of the scale. Whether you're a seller who's lived in a property for 50 years and it's hard for you to let it go, especially to some flipper who's just going to tear it down, right?
Right.
Or a buyer who's like, you know, seen five houses that are the forever house and lost to 40 other offers. Mm-hmm. You know, it's definitely takes a different perspective. And, you know, on like from an agent's side, to be able to help people navigate those emotions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
true.
And it's true. And if you haven't gone through it, and you, I don't know how you would even be able to advise people on it, you know, as far as the highs and lows, if you haven't witnessed it or understand it or worked through it somehow, I don't know how you could just pass your real estate licensing exam and feel qualified to give the kind of guidance sometimes that we have to give. But we'll talk about that
later.
You
really don't.
You don't.
You're not. You really don't. It's like taking a theoretical test versus actually driving the car. Yeah. After you pass your written exam, you really don't know what you're doing.
Exactly. So, so true.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, on that note.
One other thing before we switch, because I feel like this is also a really big thing that I've taken, and I think so many other realtors take from being in this process, is you get a different perspective on money and on politics.
Mm.
And that's a whole nother conversation
Let's get in there. You know, that's true.
Before I knew anything about real estate, and I was a renter and young, you know, younger, just let out into the world, heathen. I can say that I wasn't the most respectful renter. You know, I don't think that I really considered what my landlord was going through, and that he was an owner himself, or they were owners themselves, and, you know, and what it meant whenever I damaged something.
Damaged something and I had to pay for it.
Oh my God. Well, we don't have to get into that. But
they make good points.
I was, and you know, when you become an agent and you start to see, you know, what goes into it, what people are spending to become owners, and then what they're putting into these properties to make them rentable, right? You realize, wow, you know, there's a different amount of accountability that you should have, even as a renter, being lucky to have that space, because that's what you are. You're lucky. Someone's giving you their space when they don't have to, especially in a city that makes it very hard for landlords to actually, just to be landlords, you know?
Dude.
I mean, it's like landlording with your hands tied behind your back.
Dude, it totally is. I had a tenant in one of my units who didn't pay rent for an entire year, and it was nearly impossible to get him out.
And that's what I'm thinking too. Like, I find myself more and more siding with the landlord in a way, because I know how detrimental it can be when you have something that you're counting on that income and it's now gone. The person sitting there trashing your place, there's nothing you can do. Yeah. And everybody's saying, oh, the poor tenants, no one can pay rent anymore. It's like, well, some maybe can, but decide not to, because huge loophole, you don't have to. So people don't.
Right.
And I understand there's obviously a lot of people that really can't. There's a lot of people that take advantage, and I find myself feeling somewhat sympathetic for the landlords too.
Who
need that money to make their mortgage payment.
100%.
And whenever you start to get this new perspective on money in general, mm-hmm. and on how ownership works, right? You also start to understand that, you know, when you are not paying your rent, or when you are, you know, like not being a good tenant, or you know, or messing something up that then the landlord has to pay for, that's a real impact, you know? And I think a lot of times people think about it like there's just some corporation behind it, mm-hmm. who is faceless and evil and just doesn't care about you, when really it might be a mom and pop person. It might be a single person who this is like something that they have worked all their life to buy, yeah. and, you know, and use as a wealth builder as well. And now you're taking advantage of that and potentially leading them into failure, which then actually sometimes, you know, enables the corporations to then swoop in for the win.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and totally. Those are the ones who are going to be way less forgiving,
mm-hmm.
yeah. way less forgiving.
That is true.
Yeah. So
be respectful, tenants. There's someone on the other side of that thing. But also, you know, it does change your mind about money 100%. Seeing lump sums as opposed to a paycheck to paycheck kind of lifestyle. You're able to pay down debt faster. You're able to make different down payments on cars so that your carrying costs are lower. You can fix your credit relatively quickly.
You can pay upfront for a lot of things.
Upfront, you don't have to pay these crazy interest rates. It's like mm-hmm. you realize you have a lot of power when you have like a lump sum in your hand. So becoming a real estate agent, for me, I had like a 500 credit score. I had nothing. I mean, nothing. I wouldn't have rented an apartment to me. Not because I damaged it, but because I had nothing, literally nothing. Like I had to borrow $7 from my actor friend just to eat one day, you know? Mm-hmm. And so to me, it's like, it changed my mind. It changed my life, being able to see how to spend money to make money. And also how, you know, how I was understanding money was from like a poor person's point of view. Yeah. And I had to change my mind.
Absolutely. You know, like, That is one of the biggest changes that I've seen and that I've been able to pass on to people just in being an agent is like the perspective on money and on purchasing. Mm-hmm. You know, when you realize like before I was an agent and I looked at, you know, houses, right? Like I'm looking at $1 million price tag and I'm thinking if I don't have $1 million, I can't even buy that thing.
Right.
You know, but the reality is that I don't need $1 million.
No, you don't.
Maybe I only need $35,000 to buy that $1 million thing. Right. Maybe I need $100,000 to buy that thing. And then you start realizing once you do get into real estate or you start paying attention to real estate that you know, the way people win and the way people wealth build is they learn how to leverage their money differently. You know, and when you're a realtor, you get exposed to so many different kinds of creative financing that it gives you the power to then help other people realize those same things. Like, you know, I just had a client who was a buyer who, you know, was, she could go FHA or conventional, but it was like 5% down that she was working with. And it really was, a tight budget. But, you know, she was able to find a house in LA that was a 3-bed, 2-bath house, you know, and it's something that now she's going to go ahead and put some work into. And I'll say this is one that I'm very proud of because we were able to get her $32,000 in credits from the seller towards repairs that then she's going to do that she could have never paid for out of pocket.
Right.
You know, so that seller's contribution really made the difference. But now she has a house that is going to help her build wealth and help lead her to the next house.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. So no more tenancy for her. And that's exactly the key. That's the thing is that get more people in. So that
we could do a good plug at this point for Break Up With Your Rental.
Oh yeah.
Because that is basically what happened.
Yeah, Break Up With Your Rental.
You're paying into your own pocket now versus flushing it down the toilet.
100%. Yeah. Break Up With Your Rental is a book I wrote. It's the professional women's guide to building wealth through real estate, but it's really for anyone who's interested and doesn't know how to do it.
Every first-time homebuyer should read this book.
Every first-time homebuyer should read this book. Silka said.
It's true. You know,
but people actually said that to us. Like first-time homebuyers are like, I picked up this book. It changed my life.
It really does. It really does. Like, you know, it puts it into a perspective that's digestible no matter where you're coming from. If you haven't even ever looked at a house on Redfin at an aggregator site, or if you've never talked to a lender, like you can still comprehend the words in this book because it relates to something we all relate to, which is dating.
Right.
You know, and that is a digestible
subject. Yes.
True that. Well, thank you. So we'll put a link to Break Up With Your Rental in the show notes as well. Now, I'm going to change the momentum here for a second and introduce a very talented Acme agent, Emmy Award-winning Acme real estate agent, Emily Sinclair, who is here to share with us her story of making the leap from the entertainment industry to real estate. Welcome, Emily.
Welcome.
All right. Okay. So as I said, we have our rock star real estate agent, Emily Sinclair, who left a glitzy life in entertainment to join us at Acme and pursue her real estate fantasies. Mm-hmm. Welcome, Emily.
Thank you so much, Courtney. I am really honored to be here. And this, can I just say, this room is so, like, I'm vibing on this room so much, the podcast studio.
It's kind of like being in Bali right now. Now we're like sweating.
Exactly. We got that beautiful glow happening.
The glow.
It's good.
What's happening?
It's a good thing. Yeah.
Well, thank you. So what made you make the jump from the entertainment industry to real estate?
Such a good question, especially because it was a fairly illustrious career as an executive producer for so many years. It was 18 years in total. Wow. And honestly, I just felt like I got to a place where I was obsessing over Redfin. I was sitting on set staring at Redfin in all of my downtime in between takes of whatever. And I was sending listings to my friends saying, you should buy this, you should buy this. And suddenly they were like, wow, you'd be a really good real estate agent. And I'm like, huh, the world doesn't need another fucking realtor. But
it turns out they did.
Apparently. Yeah. So I just kind of, even my husband was saying, like, this is something you should really do. And I'm like, oh, no, why would I leave my wonderful career? But then I kind of realized that there's more that I can do to help people. I could still tell great stories in real estate. Right. You know, I could still parlay all of my skills to advocating for people, helping them, you know, build wealth. So that's kind of how it started.
I love that. So love of design and fascination with aggregator sites turned you on. Got it.
Sorry. Aggregator sites.
Yeah, no. Right. I mean, no, you don't have to. You could say Redfin if you want to. That's all right. It's a free format here.
I was on the aggregator site.
Aggregator site. IDXing. You know.
Yeah.
Aggregator apps.
Yes. But tell us about your career. Like, what exactly did you do? And what were some of the shows that you worked on that added to your illustrious resume?
Oh, yes. My very first reality show was Survivor. Have you heard of that one?
That's a
big one. You didn't even know that one?
I've heard
yeah.
of it.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So that was kind of big. Yeah. And honestly, it was like I got on a rocket ship after that. I just, almost any show that was coming up that sounded interesting to me, I was hired on. Dating shows, like I did Celebrity Mole, you know, went to Hawaii, did Dancing with the Stars. But the big one for me, the real life-changing one, the seminal one, I like to say, was in 2003, I did Extreme Makeover Home Edition. Mm-hmm. And I was a field producer. So my job was literally to run around on set for like 18 hours a day and follow the build. Watch, you know, stand next to the camera and tell the talent, like prompt the talent to say something about what are we doing right now and who are we building this beautiful house for, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I was immersed in construction, which I loved. I was immersed in design. And I was in a world where I was actually helping people that were really deserving. And it felt so good. And so that was the big one. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I rose up the ranks and worked on lots of other shows.
Is there more drama in the real estate industry or in the entertainment industry?
You know, I actually think there's more drama in real estate than real estate is more real.
Yeah.
Than reality TV, honestly.
Yeah.
You know.
Of course.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything is probably a bit
anything
more real
is more
than
real.
Reality TV.
Yeah. Seriously. Yeah. Exactly.
But with real estate, there's like so many egos involved. Mm-hmm. Because let's face it, those of us who are good at our jobs have a balance, a healthy balance of narcissism and service, intentions.
Yeah.
You know, like we want to help you because it makes us feel like we're doing a better job at being human. So there is a kind of a cyclical,
it's
a self-feeding monster kind of a thing.
For sure.
But, you know, the bigger the ego, probably the better the agent a lot of times. If they're translating that into service to their client.
Are you saying that I have a big ego? Is
no.
that what you're kind of like
I'm just
roundabout?
Saying, I'm not surprised that you said real estate is more drama filled than reality television because I think we have a lot of high drama people in real estate.
That is true. Yeah, well, there's just a lot more stakes, really. You know, when you're thinking about the biggest purchase of someone's life or...
Okay. You know, didn't we just talk about this? Okay, it's really not the biggest purchase.
But even with a 20% down...
It's 20% down of the biggest purchase.
No, but that is still, for some people, going to be the biggest purchase.
It's not nothing. But just like you said, a million, you're not going, hey, excuse me, can I have $1 million to buy this house? You're going, hey, can I have $35,000 down on a 3.5%?
Right. You know but for some people, $35,000 is the most that they will ever pay for anything.
That may be true, but I'm just saying it's not the full amount. But anyway, I digress.
How about it's just the biggest decision next to marriage and children?
That can be true.
You know, yeah, it's a big decision. And, you know, you have to at least hold on to it for 2 years. Otherwise, you got to pay capital gains tax. So
Don't talk
anyway.
To me about that. I already know.
Oh, I know. But no, I mean, it's, what were we talking about? I totally forgot.
You said the stakes are higher in real estate.
Yes.
You know, so that makes drama. So is the drama that we're talking about, is it more between agents or more like about the deal? Like, it's like, oh my God, then the seller did this and then the agent didn't show up. And then, you know, how do I tell this to my client that this is disappointing? Like, what's your drama? Tell me.
I would say it's the deal. It's not really the agent so much. I mean, every once in a while I'll get an agent that comes in and I'm like, oh, Nelly, this one is going to be intense because they're, you know, not focusing on the deal whatsoever. They've got their hand in all sorts of different, you know, pots, basically. But for the most part, it's, did someone actually do the thing they said they were going to do? Did they actually disclose the thing? You know, they lied about this. They lied about the jacuzzi tub. You know, it's that kind of stuff.
Right. To me, I think in the past market, and I don't know if you guys want to chime in here, it's been a lot of like people are really amped up to write the most aggressive offer, but then they don't always want to deal with the consequences of writing the most aggressive offer. Like they forget, like, oh, there's a contract. It has these things that are built into it. Like, okay, it didn't appraise. Now you really do have to come out of pocket for the difference. You wrote an offer with no appraisal contingency, and this is why, you know? And it's like, oh, but I thought it was going to appraise. It's like, yeah, but we don't, you know, you have the money and you have to make up the difference. We can't like extend it another couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Unless the sellers agree to it. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of anxiety in there around that.
A lot of anxiety. That's yeah. Very true.
So do you market to your Hollywood people?
Now I do. But okay. When I first started, I didn't because I actually became, I was probably one of five people that left reality TV and became agents. And when all of them left, they did this big Facebook announcement. And there's this really cute picture of them standing in front of a house or standing with a, like a new realtor pin or something like that. And they were like, I've left TV. I'm a realtor now. And I was like, I don't want to do that. Okay. So, I mean, I also didn't want to make a huge proclamation and then go right back to reality TV. You know, so I kind of wanted to just dip my toe into the pool and see how it went. At first. And so I really didn't tell anyone on Facebook for like the first year.
And your dip was like a dive. Let's talk about how long you've been an agent. You've only been an agent for how long?
3 years.
And your first year, you closed a lot of deals.
Five deals for the first year is a lot.
That's a lot, guys. Yeah. That's like so many. So yeah. How'd you do it?
So yeah, what I did was I just treated it like it was a real job every single day. I showed up at the office at 8:30 every single day. I made my list. I mean, even my very first day of, you know, when you and I met and you offered to hang my license there. And I was like, oh my God, yes. And I went home and I made my touch list and I had 43 people on my touch list and I started making phone calls.
Amazing.
And that's just, I mean, I did what you told me to do.
Yeah.
You know?
Good. So the training helped too.
The training really helped, but I also just showed up.
Yeah.
I showed up every damn day.
And taking accountability for the fact that you are running this business of you being exactly. A real estate agent. So, you know, I feel like brokerages are here for support. We're here for certain types of higher level guidance that, you know, that the agent needs, but we can't make you show up.
Exactly.
You have to meet us halfway. Or nothing happens with the information we're giving you or the support we're giving you.
Yeah.
So I love that. But you're right. It's like, do you feel like in between entertainment industry and real estate that if you put more time and effort into one of those that you're guaranteed more of a return in one of those? You know what I'm saying?
Oh.
Like with real estate, you came first day, showed up, did the thing, and the results happened.
Absolutely.
Is it like that in the entertainment industry?
Not really. And in fact, you're programmed to believe you are completely disposable at all times. And so no matter how much you put in, you could still be fired immediately. You know what I mean? And so it's really sucks. You know, there's a lot of Stockholm syndrome that goes with, you know, that business essentially. So thankfully we don't have that. But no, I just found for all the effort I really put in, all the work, all the, you know, blood, sweat, tears, it really did pay off and in droves, you know, whereas in TV, I could work an 18-hour day. I'm definitely not getting overtime and I'm definitely not getting any thank you reviews, which I love. I cannot tell you how much I love getting those reviews. Almost more than getting a paycheck, like almost more than getting a, you know, a lovely check, which is fabulous, but getting an amazing review where they really feel like I gave them the best service and they, you know, said I did it.
Yeah.
They validate me or yeah. They said like, oh, and she was so funny to work with or whatever. I'm like, yes, you know?
Yeah.
Do you work more hours a week in real estate or in the entertainment industry?
I think I would say, no, I definitely don't work as many hours in real estate. Cause I mean, there was a time when I would sign a contract, like a deal memo in TV that was 80-hour work week minimum. Like, you will work 80 hours this week. Wow. And so now I get to make my own 80 hours if I want to work 80 hours.
That's the thing I was going to say. I feel like I do work 80 hours some weeks for sure. Yeah. But some of the work is thinking.
Yeah.
So it's not like I'm on set doing a thing, but I'm in my mind on my couch, ignoring everything else around me, thinking about, how am I going to get them this house? Or like, what can I do to solve this problem? So some amount of that. My mind is always consumed by real estate deals, always, always, always.
Oh, like in my dreams? There have been so many times I'm thinking about appraisal packages in my sleep, and I wake up and I'm like, did the appraisal come in low?
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
So what advice would you give? Like, do you think real estate's a career for everybody?
No.
Okay, so what advice would you give to someone who's considering, doesn't know if they want to make a shift from some other career to real estate?
I think one has to ask themselves, why do I want to be in real estate? Is it just because you love pretty homes? I don't think that's enough. I personally feel from doing it 3 years, you have to have a service heart. You have to really want to see people succeed and work and advocate for them. And that's part of being a negotiator. If we're going to work this hard, we want to know that, you know, they're going to get what they want in the end, you know, right. And there's... Not everyone is like that. That is the shocking thing I find with some agents. They're like, oh, I don't know. Well, if it happens, it happens.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no.
He was just talking about that. We were just talking about how sometimes the difference between a super effective real estate agent and a maybe not as effective real estate agent is how committed you are to the outcome, you know, and how many hurdles you're willing to jump to get there. It's not laissez-faire.
Right.
It's like also showing people the other side of things, because our brains are programmed to run away from risk typically. And, you know, buyers perceive and sellers sometimes perceive going into the sales process as a risk, and they're nervous and nobody wants to be made a fool of. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it becomes a little adversarial. Like, buyers always think they're paying too much. Sellers always feel like they're leaving money on the table. Exactly. So you as the negotiator, you know, you're walking like this fine line. And there's some emotional intelligence that needs to happen in order for you to be able to do it really well, you know?
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's like the thing that really distinguishes great agents from maybe not so great agents.
The expert from the salesperson.
The expert from the salesperson.
That's
right. Totally.
Right. Yeah, I don't think that you can go from being like a closer car salesman and move into real estate and be successful. I just don't. I think people smell the commission breath on the agent. You know what I mean?
It's hot breath.
Yeah, hot, stinky fish breath. I, you know, honestly, like, some people have said, like, oh, how much are you going to earn from that? And I'm like, I don't know. I haven't even thought about it. We are not there yet. Like, I just want to get them this house. That's where I'm coming from.
It's so funny. I feel the same way. Do you guys feel that way? Like, I don't even think about the money. No. It's a flow.
Yeah.
It's, to me, the victory is in getting the deal accepted and getting them through the process. Like,
I was just going to say, I think that the agents who come into it like that are also the ones who become the biggest liabilities. And, you know, those are the ones who, you know, just from stories I've heard, get themselves into situations by not caring about, you know, what the person is going to end up with on the other side, just that the deal gets done, you know.
Yep.
I mean, one of our agents had that experience when she bought, you know, she bought with someone who just wanted to see it close. And instead of him flagging things that would have been really big issues and issues that she should have been aware of, you know, he was just kind of massaging every issue. Oh, that's normal. And then she ends up with something that ultimately she needed to take into court.
Yeah.
You know?
And she won.
And she won.
And she won.
Good for her.
So I have one more question, then you can share with us whatever parting sentiment you would like to inject into the audience if they're thinking about getting into real estate. But do you feel like you can read people better now?
Oh, yes. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think initially anyone who with a pulse who said they wanted to buy, I'm like, okay, great. Okay, that sounds good. Okay. And now I size them up a little bit more. I'm maybe a little less available because I'm also busier now. And I can tell the ones I don't have to chase them. They're kind of chasing me a little bit now too, you know? So there's that angle. Yeah.
Does yeah. That,
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that totally makes sense. Yeah. Yeah. So what parting words would you give? What advice would you give to anybody who's considering a real estate career? And I'm sorry if I asked this question already a different way, but or any other sentiments you want to share with us.
So I have really learned to trust my gut when it comes to reading people right off the bat. There are tells that people will, you know, give you. They're going to reveal themselves maybe at the very first meeting when they, you know, for instance, I'm thinking back to this guy that I met where he was very opinionated. He was a commercial agent. Maybe you'll remember who I'm talking about, several years ago. And he said he wanted to use me as his real estate agent, even though he had his license. And he was he said, I can be a real handful. And, you know, I should have believed him. I was like, oh, you're fine. No. Like, he proved himself because he wanted to see a certain house. I got him in the door ahead of anyone else. And then he completely snaked me by going to the listing agent.
Wow. And so that means you didn't have a buyer agency agreement.
I did. I did have a signed buyer agency agreement. Oh, now, do you remember?
I remember now. Yeah.
And then he was like, you know, blowing us up and threatening to sue. And just
that was crazy.
Yeah. So I trust my gut now. When I see people that are seeming shifty, or if I have any little alarm bells going off, I'm like, you know, my time is more valuable working with someone else. Maybe I can refer this person off.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So gut trust.
These are also the experiences that make you a better agent.
I suppose so. Yes. Right? You're right. Yeah, it's true.
The more weird stuff happens.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, totally. Bring on the weird stuff. It's real estate. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. We're so honored to have you on our team, in our family, and you're just the shining light. We love you so much.
Thank you. Yay.
You can follow Emily Sinclair at Reality Girl on IG. So follow now, okay? All right. Here we are, just the four of us, doing a thing for humanity. Thank you. Okay, so just an interlude, just a musical interlude. Yeah, it is like hot in here, eh? So thank you so much again to Emily Sinclair for joining us to talk about making the leap from the entertainment industry into real estate. She definitely did put all of her talents to good use in the short time that I've seen her grow. I've been really impressed. So it's true. You put your mind to it and you can actually see real results if you're smart, deductive, and coachable. And now we have another special Acme guest, our darling Will. Hi, Will.
Hi.
Hi, Will.
Hi, how are you?
We're good. You make me feel all like...
Thank you. You too.
Okay.
So Will has a piece he'd like to engage us with.
Yeah.
Yes. And this is if his mother were a real estate agent.
Yeah.
The floor is yours.
Well, it's a little weird, but my sister Francine and my sister-in-law Elizabeth are also agents. So real estate is kind of in the family. So I was thinking, what if my mom was an agent? She's a New York Jew from the Bronx. And if you've seen Coffee Talk, you haven't. Coffee Talk.
Yeah.
On SNL. It's kind of, you haven't seen it?
No, but I trust you that I feel like I'm about to get a taste right now.
Yeah, like, you know the archetype I'm talking about, right? She's 84.
I mean, I can feel it. I've seen Seinfeld, so I think I can. Okay. I think I can.
Why don't you give us all of that?
Okay. Let's just put it this way. She's the greatest person, but she has absolutely no filter whatsoever.
That sounds like a New York mom.
Yeah. So this is her at a showing. So this house is across the street from a school, and not the best school. She totally violates fair housing. Do you want to hear a bell in your head for hours and hours all day long? My mom on design trends, current design trends, might also be an issue for her, you know? Subway tiles? I moved to California to get away from the subway. What am I bathing in a subway car? This is ridiculous. On home size, a one bedroom house for $1.3 million? One bedroom, one bath in a terrible area? Oh my God. On architectural homes, what's with these mid-century houses being so popular? They're old. I moved to California in the 50s. I saw a Richard Neutra and thought, what, I want to live in a glass box? What is this? And her secret to curb appeal. My terracotta porch bird sculptures. That's my secret. Terracotta porch bird sculptures. People will flock to your open houses when they see these. You see what I did there? Huh? On the bohemian lifestyle that we a bohemian lifestyle they wanna live now? Ay, ay, ay. I was never a hippie. I mean, they call this an Acme house. I see a lot of macrame and baskets around. This place needs more figurines and Aladro crystals. I had a gorgeous Aladro, a beautiful woman holding a bird. Every time I moved, right off the arm, I had to glue it back on three times. So that's my mom being an agent.
The podcast now,
oh
too. I want to hear coffee
really
talk with
awesome.
You and your mom.
Oh my God. Let's just great, show her images of right. California houses
we
and get a reaction.
With Alana doing
oh my God. Oh my God. The flock. I got that. I got that one. Oh
you get oh that one? Huh?
I see what you did there.
You see what I did there?
Thank you so much, Will,
you're
for
welcome.
Joining us.
You're
so, what did you do before you came to real estate?
Well, I do music. I still do it, and I play in bands. I play in a band. Well, one of the bands is Imperial Teens, and we have some fans. And Psychic Friend is another band, and Hey Willpower is another one of my bands. And yes, lots of songwriting and touring. And
so why real estate?
Well, I've always been interested in it since I was a kid. I used to... I used to get the New York Times Magazine Sunday with the Sunday Times and look at the listings in the back. And I always dreamed about real estate, like having something to do with it. And I've kept my eye on it over the years. And I, you know, at a certain point, I was just like, I have to own a house. And it became an obsession. And I did it. And that has sort of informed the desire to do real estate because it's fun.
So what do you spend more of your time doing now, be honest, real estate or music?
Real estate.
Of course. Yay, good answer. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Well, we're excited
thank you
to
for
watch
having
you grow
me.
Too. @will_@_acme.
Yeah.
On Instagram, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so follow along. We'll put the little thingy-badoo in the thingy-badoo, you know? All right.
Thank you.
So much.
Thank you, guys.
That was fun.
Tell your mom we said hi.
Okay.
We'll bring her some bagels with schmear.
Okay.
Funny.
Oh my God.
If you ever get to do a deal with Will, you
oh
know,
God,
I think
ask his mom to come to the walk-in.
Will,
you're
Will
a lucky
was
person.
On HGTV with his client, the wrestler.
Yes, he
that
was on
was
HGTV
so
with
fun.
His client. Oh my God, so
he,
funny. This lady drives a car. Was it furry?
It was completely covered in fur.
Covered in fur.
And that's why she had to have a carport or a garage so her baby doesn't get wet when it rains.
Oh,
and it's just
my
the most
gosh.
Funny.
So funny.
Episode, and Will's amazing.
Will is amazing. Just, I'm so
the
appreciative.
Two of them.
for him to come into the show. We'll put a link to Will's HGTV show in the show notes as well. So I wanted to talk about something that's my favorite thing of the week that I found on Instagram. So there is an Instagram account called Virginia Sin __. Like Virginia, like the state, SIN __. And they have the most beautiful and unique pendant lights and little lamps and candelabras. And I'm just obsessed. It's like earthy and they're interesting and they're so on trend and very Tulum vibe. Ooh. I just love them so much. So you should definitely check out at Virginia Sin__. And you will see what I am talking about. You will be obsessed as well. We should do a collab. Let's
all
do that.
Right, let's get on that.
Yes, please. to wrap up and kind of summarize the theme, I feel like real estate isn't for everybody. Do you agree?
Yes.
Why?
Because you have to be a certain kind of person.
What kind of person?
You have to be so tenacious and hardworking. It is not a job. It's a career. You only get what you put in. No, you have to just countless hours of hard work. You have to be somewhat good with people. That's helpful. And just your interest has to be in, like, you have to help people. That's sort of like, I think that's the first thing. You have to really care about the outcome.
Right.
If you get into real estate thinking, oh, look at their flashy cars and I'm going to make millions and it's just going to roll in. And when I get my license, that's just, you're sorely mistaken.
Yeah.
That's not how it works.
I mean, we do have a lot of people drop out pretty quickly.
I think the dropout rate is like, I'm not sure what percentage, but in the first 2 years, a lot of people realize, okay, this might not be for me.
Right.
So if you survive 2 or 3 years, I think then you're probably okay. Yeah, you can make it.
Is real estate a career for everybody?
You know, definitely not. I stuck in and sold on that. You know, I think to be a realtor, there are a lot of realtors without ethics. Let's be real there. But I also think that if you don't have ethics, it's a short-lived career because that will catch up to you, whether it's with reputation or with lawsuits. So, you know, I would say if you feel like you're in it for the money and, you know, you really don't care, like Silke was saying, about the outcome, then I don't think it's for you. And I also have to say that, you know, I think I was thinking about this other day, but we were talking about on the last show, you know, just people thinking that this is like a glitzy job, right? And, you know, I think that in LA, I don't know about other places, but it feels like, you know, real estate is where some people are looking for their big break. And that is...
Oh my God, that's what a revelation. Yeah, it's like replaced... Like becoming an actor.
Yes. Yeah. It has.
Wow.
It's like if I want to make it on the big screen, all I have to do is put on my pretty dress and my makeup and, you know, and find myself in $50 million houses and have someone follow me with a camera. And that is so not what this job is. Right. It's so much hard work. It's a lot of nights like with, you know, with a lot on your mind because you're trying to figure out how you're going to get past certain hurdles. It's late night conversations. It's, you know, it's, there's so much to it that's not pretty that if you're not down to kind of thug that part out, then, you know, I think you'll probably fall out pretty quickly.
Yeah. Well, I personally, having trained a lot of agents and having seen this business in action for nearly two decades, I think there should be a apprenticeship requirement. I think that people who want to become real estate agents should have to spend 2 years required assisting agents who are actually at a certain sales volume, whatever is considered like full-time agent in whatever market they're in. And you have to learn by humbling yourself. And really, the hardest part for most new agents is learning that they don't know shit. They walk in the doors thinking they know everything. And when we start breaking down contracts or we start breaking down like, you know, different forms in our zip forms or, you know, procedural things, it's like, whoa, you know, title reports, 9A reports, inspection reports, like what's normal, what's not normal. It's a lot. It's a lot. And so with Agent Ascent, you know, I try to inject people with a fundamental understanding of platform.
That's our Acme training.
That's our Acme training.
Acme Ascent.
And it gives people what takes most people like 3 years or a lifetime to learn. I'm giving it to them in digestible bites over like an 11-week course and sometimes a little longer. But it's still no replacement for on the ground, humbling assistant work or, you know, apprenticeship work. So if I were to make a big change in our industry, I think that would be a change I would definitely advocate for.
Like a two-part thing. License plus...
License and apprenticeship.
And apprenticeship.
I mean,
and then you get another certificate saying, okay,
now I'm ready to be hired.
You can go into the world and manage people's money.
Yep. Boom. I mean, how do you just pass a test when you're 18 years old and suddenly are qualified to make big mistakes with people's very expensive assets? It's just so crazy to me. Mm-hmm. And also, it explains so much about why deals fall apart, why things go down the way they do, and why there are so many misconceptions about what real estate agents actually do.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so much distrust about realtors.
Right.
You know, I just had a client say to me, you know, you've changed my concept of what a real estate agent is. Like, I was terrified about actually working with a real estate agent because what I thought that meant was just someone pushing me into something.
Right.
You know, and that's not what it is.
Not at all.
We're not pushers, you know.
No.
We're leaders, we're guiders, you know.
We're counselors. We're all the things. Transaction managers, really. We help people protect themselves while they're trying to, you know, get something that they really want, you know?
Well, it's like a producer. That's really what we are.
Top producers.
Top producers.
On that note, thank you all so much for joining us for episode 2 of Under All is the Land. I'm Courtney, here with Silka and Dominique, and we're going to catch you on the next episode. Peace.
Coming to you live from Acme Real Estate in Los Angeles, California. It's Under All is the Land. With your host, Courtney Polis, Silka Fernald, and Dominique.